The pilot guides were wrong about Burnham on Crouch. I brought along a bag of brightly coloured marbles like they advised, but when I proffered them for a pint of lager, the yacht club barman said, "No, mate, they've started using money round here. You're supposed to put the marbles in your mouth so they can understand you when you speaks." Clearly, I had a lot to learn about the proper way to behave in Burnham. But that shouldn't be too much of a problem. I had time on my hands. I was stormbound in Burnham Arena and long overdue for a spot of self-improvement. And it certainly looked like I had a long way to go, for I was surrounded by sleek, ocean-going leviathans, shackled permanently to pontoons with hot tubs, golf driving ranges, and their own postcodes. Poor little Marlin was no bigger than a fender to their tenders. In fact, just reading the boat names was an education in itself. Reassuring, too, to learn that boat owners on the Crouch are just as romantic as we Blackwater sailors. Both have a penchant for naming boats after things that are precious to them. It's just expressed differently. On the Blackwater, there's a long and vibrant tradition of naming boats after other people's wives. A quick glance at my pontoon neighbour in Burnham Marina revealed our Crouch cousins to be just as sentimental. Marlin was tucked up under the transom of the touchingly named Footsie Lady, its gigantic monogrammed fenders swinging threateningly like furry oversized wrecking balls at the height of Marlin's spreaders. Next door was Miss Selenius, so named, I later learned, because that's how she appeared in company accounts. And bigger yet was Bye Bye Baby, that's B-U-Y-B-Y, a brand new Narcissist 680. By the way, Marlin's called Marlin because that's how she came to me. But it may have been a clever coded message of devotion to a damsel named Marlene, or Fish. For days, the rains lashed down and winds jerked Marlin on her warps, while the incessant torture of halyard slap on aluminium masts jangled my nerves to shreds. One word for this kind of experience is holiday, but that in no way describes the ordeal of spending 10 days aboard a Sailfish 18. For a Sailfish is a bit like Doctor Who's TARDIS, but a prototype one. Although it's small on the outside, that's just an illusion. It's even smaller on the inside. And all the while, I immerse myself in learning the ways of Burnham, memorizing pages of Debrett's Who's What, studying the Ruffian's Guide to Burnham, and practicing essential get-you-by phrases from Talk Proper Burnham. You may think I was overprepared, but what you have to understand is that Burnham has the same relationship with the rest of Essex as Monte Carlo does with France. We're talking right posh. As I sensed a break in the weather, I had a decision to make. Walk into Burnham or make a break for it. I decided to make a break for it. After all, the weather had moderated to force 19, a Shakespearean tempest. But 20 minutes later, I was back under the long chilly shadow cast by Footsie Lady's transom. I'd had what's known in Burnham as a bit of a moment. You see, I'm a natural at languages. Basically, my main sheet tackle had pulled out of the end of the boom at the same moment that my rudder cord snapped. In one hand, I had a mess of limp rope and pulley blocks. In the other, a tiller attached to a floating horizontal rudder giving no steerage. It seems dark forces were determined to lure me into Burnham, and I must admit I succumbed. The next few days were a blurry haze as I stumbled down dark alleys through the exotic scented souks and kasbahs of Burnham. I was after a tube of toothpaste, but Burnham only has yacht clubs. In fact, it said in the pilot guides that virtually everyone in Burnham, and not just anyone who's anyone, but anyone, has their own yacht club. And they all say, "Visiting yachtsmen welcome." so I kept quiet about the sailfish. But they did make me welcome, and slowly, as I sipped halves of lager and settled back in deep button sofas, snatches of overheard conversations educated me in the ways of Burnham. I learned, for example, that everyone in Burnham is generally most terribly awfully worried about everything. There was a chap who bewailed to his chum, "I'm most terribly awfully worried about my investments, don't you know, old chap? I might have to keep the wifey on a little longer." Others were most terribly awfully worried about their houses in Bordeaux, boats in Bordeaux, chalets in Gstaad, unpromising snow forecasts for Megève, the garden, the lawn, greenfly, the economy, the government, the Americans, France, the rest of Europe, and everywhere else. Finally, when one chap bemoaned, "I'm most terribly awfully worried about my auntie's estate. It's worth 300,000, don't you know?" Well, I just couldn't keep myself from saying something, and I asked, "Is it a Bentley?" As their monocles plopped into their G&Ts, I blustered, "I'm only asking because I've got an estate too. It's an old Volvo 240, and it's only worth about a grand." Well, I guess I'll never fit in Burnham. As I trudged daily to and from the town and the marina, I memorised the names of yachts blocking the fairway. There was Guilty Party, Golden Parachute, and Hedge Fund Lass, as always, laying the opposite way. Back at the marina, Footsie Lady had been replaced by a 40-foot wave-piercing torpedo boat with helipad, the gold script on the transom read, "Bailout, tender to bonus." And still it rained. Ever since I'd replaced Marlin's windows, they'd leaked like Julian Assange. What I really craved was a day off from my holiday, and my darling Jules delivered me back to Malden in just 25 minutes. A 12-mile journey by road that had taken me 3 days by boat on the way out. That's the idiocy of sailing. After a night in warm arms and crisp sheets, I was ready for more. Warm arms and crisp sheets, that is. But Jules made me go back. I pleaded with her to see reason, explaining that any more than 3 days in a marina generally outstrips the value of a sailfish, so the sensible thing to do would be to abandon Marlin in Burnham, lay low in Malden, and splash the ill-gottens on a 12-inch pizza. In the end, Jules made me see reason, she always does, and I agreed to go back and finish my holiday. On one condition. Next year's holiday is already booked. A luxury 2-week break down a Chilean mine. I can't wait.